Best intro ever, hashtag, or actually you're supposed to say hashtag best intro ever.
Kareem don't like it, though.
Who?
Kareem, he's one of the guys that's on the panel with our imam. He says, oh, it's so demonic, y'all gotta watch it, it's so bad.
Oh, is that...
exposing the demonic.
That's the panel that has not made a video since they got 9 strikes, would that be the one that we're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
and that, you know,
the judgment call, and he finally got it by YouTube, kicked him out.
No kidding. George and I were talking about this before the show. I mean, it is so wrong to erroneously report somebody on social media for the sole purpose of getting their platform taken down. I agree with that. I agree 100% with that. But when it, you know, you don't do anything to, you know, and speak about it when it's happening to other people. You know what? I don't know what comes around goes around. I don't want to say that, but I'm thinking it. Let's just say that.
What's the good old saying? Karma's
a... Yeah, exactly. yeah. It can be. This is true. Okay, so let's get moving into today's show. Sunday. You know, folks, Sunday was a lot of fun. It really was. Sometimes when you are caught in the moment, and you're sitting there trying to watch the chat, you're trying to, you know, manage everybody that wants to, you know, speak on the panel, people coming in and out, wanting to show their screen. You get sent messages that you thought, you know what, I wish to, you know, all goodness that I could have had that of the show. So I was checking my Skype messages, and I don't know. I got this. Of course, I got this. I was checking my Skype messages right after the show, and of course, I get one from Jay. And Jay's like the slam dunk ninja out there. He's like the Jedi of slam dunks for these guys when they try to misrepresent themselves. Okay, so he is he sends me this Skype talking about the Sunan al-Nasi 328. This is a hadith, and he talks about how, let's see, it was narrated by Aisha, that messenger of Allah married her when she was 9, and he died when she was 18 years old. Well, he points out something very important about that. If she was 19 years old, and this is just where they didn't have the one in there when she got married, how can she be married at 19 and then the Muhammad die when she's 18? Did you guys follow that? Or did I just get, I just, did I, did I bungle that one?
Yeah, because that would mean she he died a year before he married her.
Right, yes. Here, let me put it up on the screen. This way, instead of me butchering the... what I was trying to say here, because I am like the worst at that. And I was trying, I think it, and then the next thing you know, everybody's, you know, going, you're an idiot. Just show us on the screen. I'm like, okay, let me show them. Yeah, okay. So it was narrated from Aisha that messenger of Allah married her when she was 9, and he died when she was 18. So what he's saying is right here where it was 9, there was a 1. Supposed to be, it was a numeric in the original Arabic, I guess. I don't know if this is, the 9 is down here anywhere. Do we have any of the Arabic crew here tonight? Not yet. Okay, well, it would have to be, if it was indeed a numeral.
On the far right.
Okay.
That's your little pin on the left. You're thinking English, go to the far right.
I don't know. Anyway, the bottom, okay, and this is, what is this? Is this hadith? Indicate whether it's sahih or not. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, sahih right there.
Oh, right, yeah, right there. Oh, yeah. It's sahih. Right there where it says it's sahih. Moron. Come on. Good night. I can't see anything tonight. Anyway, so in order for her to be, you know, they could have left off the teen here when she was 19 and he died when she was 18. So the bottom line is that Jay, being the judo master here, pointed out very accurately that Abbas was not being completely honest. And the one thing that was very telling about that was the fact that when we asked him to show us a contradicting hadith about her age when she was when the marriage was consummated, he could not. And what he would do was he would try to conflate. If you notice that, he would try to conflate and says, well, this hadith contradicts this hadith also. And you can do that all over the place based on translation, based on interpretation or whatever. But when you, it's like saying, okay, show me where the Bible has been corrupted to the point where Jesus Christ didn't die on a cross, or where Jesus Christ is not described as the Son of God. And the bottom line is they can't do it. They can point out little variants, scribal errors here and there, maybe an insertion here, maybe an assertion there, but they can't do it. And I think the same thing applied here the other night. He could not show us a director.
Really meant to write a 1 and a 9.
No. I don't know if he said that or not. Did he say that? Do you guys remember if he said that or not? I don't know if he said that or not. But the bottom line was, is if you're trying to say that she was some other age, whether it was 9, because this is the argument that what's his nuts, the Cowardly Lion of Dawa, Marshall always sends me. He goes, oh, she was 19. That's just an error. There's supposed to be a 1 there, or there's supposed to be a teen there. Well, if you go to this one where it says that, you know, the marriage was consummated when she was 9 and Muhammad died when she was 18, she can't marry Muhammad when she's 18 or 19 and then he's dead when she's 18. I mean, that just makes no sense at all. And that's, you know, these. That argument that says, well, we don't have to do that, but if you decided to do that, it would be religiously tolerable for you to do something like that, and to criticize somebody for doing something like that is actually criticizing Muhammad, and this is why they won't do it. And this is another thing that I thought was very – go ahead, Rhett. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you get Rick caked beer right there.
Notice one other thing that he did that I thought was really cool. That is that he, Nita Mawar wants to join the stream. Do you guys know this person? Okay, well,
bring him in.
Why not? Okay, no, but okay, let me, okay, before y'all start jumping on that bandwagon, let me finish my point here. let me make a very good point, a golden point here. All right, here's the stream.
Nita.
No, he admitted, this is the admission that I thought was very, very telling. He said that it has to be an error. Because any person, he pulled a Kenny Bomer here. He said that any person that would do that, this is what he said. He said that if any man that would do that would be a pervert. He'd be a pedophile. And our prophet, remember he said that.
He actually called him not that he wasn't even a man. Men love women, Connie.
No, that's what Kenny said. But Abbas said this. Abbas said this on Sunday. What he was doing is he's essentially confirming what the Imam said. The Imam said, hey, any man that does that is a pervert. But wait a second, Muhammad did that. Well, I'm not calling my prophet a pervert. Then what are you calling him then if he did the same thing as perverts do? Well, you call him a prophet is what he does. This guy had enough sense to admit that by doing that It is a perversion of not only human sexuality, but it's a perversion of marriage. I mean, of the marriage bond. You don't do that to a little girl, for God's sake. We've been through this. We've been through this 100 times, and I'm not going to sit here and get on my soapbox and preach. Rad, why are you in here twice? Are you in here twice?
Yeah, he's in here twice.
Okay. Rad and I.
I'm going mobile, so I can get some meat. And I
can hear you in the background. I want to see on your other phone. Okay.
Mute one of them.
I'm going to mute both of them. Mute, and there you go. Take that, big man. All right, mute.
At least mute only one. That way we can hear when he comes.
Okay. Well, he knows how to unmute himself.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Big boy.
Yeah.
He's a big boy. Then,
yeah. Okay, so let's go ahead and jump to... Did he what?
Is Abbas here?
Yep, Abbas. Is that? Okay, Abbas, are you Nita Mawar?
Yep.
Is that who that was?
I'm using my wife's account because I'm using her iPad.
Ah, okay. Well, that's fine. That's cool.
Sorry about that.
No, that's all right. I was just kind of expecting somebody by the name of Nita. And then when I see a boss here, I thought, well, Nita, and then your voice doesn't sound like a Nita's voice. It sounds like, an Abbas's voice. No.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
How are you doing anyway?
Yeah, we're doing good. Yeah, how are you?
Everyone all right?
Hey, Abbas.
Yeah, I'm
hey, Abbas. Can I ask you a question?
Uh-oh. Here we go. Christians again.
Since you said Aisha was 19, Aisha actually said that she married or consummated the marriage prophet at 9 years old, and then the prophet died when she was 18 years old. So how could she have been 19 years old when she married the prophet when she said that he died when she was 18?
No, you see what I said, all the hadiths we were talking about the other day, I was saying though the hadiths have hidden defects, that's what I was talking about. So I was saying that when Hisham said such a thing, probably Hisham dropped Ashara 10 instead of saying 19, he said 9. So this is a different riwayah, different hadith.
Well, how can okay? Go ahead.
It comes from Iraqis again. This is coming from the Iraqis.
Can't trust them Iraqis. We know how them Iraqis are.
Not from anybody from Medina. and Aisha lived in Medina. So why even this hadith, which Jay gave you, also come from Iraqi? But I mean, this hadith,
Can I ask you one question? I'll ask you two questions. Instead of you just going on.
I actually came here to answer your question last time you asked me the question. I came here to answer your question.
Can you guys be nice? Just be nice. Let's be nice. Let's be nice. Let's be nice. Let's be nice, guys.
Do you accept hadith as being reliable?
I take, to start with the Quran, I accept every single verse of the Quran.
That's
hadith,
not what I answered.
I don't, every single.
Do you accept hadith as being reliable? I'm not saying every hadith, I'm saying do you accept hadith as being reliable?
What is the definition of reliable in your
He would have to say no. Stop doing
Trust.
That hadith or I'll kick you out. Don't
Trustworthy.
Do
No.
You're not dumb. We're not dumb. You know what the word means.
If you mean if something says sahih, that's reliable, I say no.
On what basis?
No. On the basis, like many scholars like Ibn Salah said that, when we read hadith, we have to use, for example, we shouldn't go against Quran, we shouldn't go against Sunnah, we shouldn't go against logic or reason. We take a couple of more other things I forgot. So on those basis, if any hadith, even if this is sahih, it goes against common logic or
Abbas.
Reason or sense or reason or logic,
Abbas.
I reject it.
Abbas, I know that person said that if something does this and does this, then you should reject it, but what I'm saying is, what is your criteria to determine if a hadith is trustworthy or not?
Well, as I say, it has to not against Quran, not against Sunnah, and obviously logic, reason. I use logic and reason as well. And I told you the other day, a man of God could not be penetrating 9-year-old girls. So that's why.
And you know what? I appreciate. And you know, I just want to let you know. I really appreciate you saying that because be honest here. Every single Muslim that I have ever spoken with, whether it's on this show, whether it's in some other of social media, in chat rooms on Facebook or wherever, has not admitted that. They have not said that would be. That is supposed to be a decent human being, supposed to be an example for other people to follow, would do. What they do is they justify it. Well, you don't understand the culture. Well, you don't understand Aisha. She was a special woman. No, she was, you know, picked by – they come up with every single other excuse under the sun other than saying that is just wrong for a grown man to do that to a little girl. So it's refreshing, even though all these other nuances that you're trying to put on it, you know, did he leave?
Yeah.
I tell you,
it's probably his network. Remember, he was having problems last time.
Okay, well, the point is that I am so glad to see a Muslim finally admit that, even though we agree on his approach to it, why he's trying to justify it. He's trying to say, well, this hadith and this hadith are not. So go ahead and try to make that argument to the Muslim audience that you can't trust the hadith. And they're going to look like you've got a horn growing out of your forehead. And that's where he's not going to – his point of view is not going to be listened to by Muslims. But what I think this is, it's very illuminating for our audience here to finally hear somebody say, yes, I'm a Muslim, and I believe that is wrong. And it's not only good for this audience, but I find it really personally refreshing to find that somebody, you know, because you would think that what I normally think, you know, is that the ideology of Islam itself pollutes people's mind. It pollutes their hearts. It inspires them. It's like a demon's taking over their soul. But to hear this, somebody that's a professed Muslim to admit this, that this is wrong, it shows that there's some sense of modicum of decency in the man. Okay, so let's jump back to what we were talking about on this hadith. Chris, go ahead, and then I see Abbas is back.
Where you're coming from, Eric, on that. But I imagine the EF Dawa crew, Paul Williams, even the Texas person himself, would love to have a Unitarian on their show, a proclaiming Christian, denying the deity of Jesus mm-hmm. on their show as well. But the problem is that heretics are heretics, right? And Abbas definitely is a heretic when it comes to Islam.
Well, we told him.
In Saudi Arabia right now, speaking the way he's speaking, and him calling Aisha a liar by saying mm-hmm. that she was lying, that she was not 9 years old, he would die. That mm-hmm. is apostasy right there. They would yeah. kill him instantly.
Immediately.
Abbas.
Well, that's why I asked. I think we We did ask you on Sunday. I'm pretty sure we asked you that by saying that, that it is indeed a declaration. I don't want to call it a declaration of apostasy, but it is considered apostasy to deny. What is the word for it? That's not what I'm saying. Sorry about that. Now, the consensus, there we go, the consensus of scholarship, to deny anything that is, I'm looking it up, here we are, to revile Allah's messenger, to deny any verse of the Quran or anything by which scholarly consensus belongs to it. Mm-hmm. That's considered apostasy.
That's it.
So that, well, Hold on, Abbas, let me ask you if I can, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Do people tell you that is a heretical position that you're taking, or they call you an apostate because of this?
Not apostate, really. I mean, some people do say this is a heretic view in their opinion, and how dare I'm rejecting scholars, or how dare I'm doubting Aisha, as you put it. But what I'm saying is not something new. What I'm saying is this hadith is not from Aisha. If somebody lied on behalf of Aisha, it's alleged hadith and saw hadith. And I'm not saying that. There are scholars like Sheikh Albani. He has rejected many sahih ahadith. I mean, he was a muhaddith, one of the great scholars.
Mm-hmm.
So he rejected the same thing what I'm doing is. I'm saying this hadith is alleged narration from Aisha. And it is not. It is a made up. If she says something, somebody in the middle twisted it.
But don't.
We call people call idraj. We call idraj interpolation in the hadith. There are many mudarris in the past, many mudallis who just misquote somebody. And this hadith, these hadiths are about that. It's interpolation. That's what I'm saying.
Do they have? But when we look at the multiple attestations to this. You have it in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim. You have it in Al-Nasri. I believe there is even an Abu Dawood. I'm willing to be wrong on that. When you have multiple. If you have not only multiple narrations but multiple sources for the narration itself. Let's take a look. Hold on. Let's take a look and see.
There are more than three or you say, one second, Chris, did you say that if there are more than three or four narrations, it is mutawatir? Is that what you're saying?
Stemming all the way back from the Prophet, or three or four different lines of it, yes.
Yeah, now you say something different. Four
narrations
different lines.
And lines are the same. Different narrations from different people, stemming from your prophet. That's okay. A different line, all the way back to your prophet. It's the same way that I described it. I'm sorry that you don't understand English that good.
Okay, I'm gonna bring. Let me.
You said one second, Eric. One second. He says.
So again, Abbas, are you denying lines all the way back to your prophet? And that you're throwing
mutawatir hadith means there are at least four companions. Four. Go and learn the science of hadith first, and then you come in. I'll challenge you,
Abbas. You're
three is called Akhbari Ahad Mashhool. Three, meaning popular. Two called Aziz, then one called Gharib. Four is Mutawatir. I challenged you last time, Did you guys done your homework? Did you find four companions quoting this hadith? So this is not a mutawatir hadith to start with.
Okay, so are you saying, are you saying...
Because something is repeated again and again, that doesn't make mutawatir.
Okay, Abbas, let me make sure that I understand this. So if you have three different compilers of a hadith... Okay, let's say. Okay, let me see how many we got here.
Can you repeat that?
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. I'm trying to find the hadith. Okay, multiple hadiths right here. Okay, we have Bukhari. Okay, Bukhari says that she was nine.
That's just a compiler. He's not aligned.
You guys are missing the obvious.
Okay.
It's not or the chain narration. That only applies when it's talking about Muhammad. So-and-so heard Muhammad say this.
Mm-hmm.
This is Aisha speaking. She doesn't need to have an isnad. She
right.
is the only originator.
You're absolutely right, John, because it says right here.
Somebody saying, now, if it would have been so-and-so heard, Aisha said so-and-so,
mm-hmm.
okay, I could grant you that. This is Aisha personally, supposedly, narrating. She's not going to have an isnad. She is the originator.
Yeah, because it's just right here. Okay, right here in Muslim. You're right. Because it says okay, and well, it starts with.
Are you showing us this?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Okay, so narrated Aisha. This is Bukhari. Narrated Aisha. So there's Bukhari. And then Muslim, Aisha reported, and all of these say that she was nine. Not one of them says that she was a day over nine. Abu Dawood, Aisha said, when I was married when I was seven and had intercourse with me when I was nine, I used to play with dolls. Aisha said, sometimes, that's sick. That's Abu Dawood. And then there, Al-Nasri, here we are. Al-Nasri, so here you have four. Okay, narrated Urwa. It was narrated from Urwa that Aisha said. Narrated Aisha said. So all of, and then, well, it was narrated that Abu Abdu'aya. Okay, so there's three. Okay, so you have three, and then Ibn Majah, was he a Tasfir, or was that, no, that's Hadith. That's Hadith. Okay.
It also says here for your number fourth one, Abdullah Allah, be pleased with him, is reported to have said. And then he goes on with
Aisha. Oh, so, okay. I don't even want to discuss this tonight because we spent the entire day.
I just want to thank you very much for proving that this story is mutawatir. We just went through the four. Now, Abbas, are you going to throw a mutawatir hadith under the bus, yes or no?
Okay. First of all, Brother Dr. Kufar Fobia, he said it doesn't have to be from the Prophet. Okay? He has a point.
Answer my question,
Abbas.
Answer my question.
No, I have to clarify.
You're running.
Abbas, hold on, I'm going to let you talk. Okay, the bottom line is that we have shown that this is supposed to be classified as what's called Mu'awad, it's the most trusted. Okay, it's supposed to do that. Now, your rebuttal to that, saying that it is not because why? Go ahead.
I'm coming to mutawatir. First of all, when he said this doesn't have to go to the Prophet, you know what he's actually admitting? This is not a marfu hadith. Marfu, which comes from the Prophet, has the highest degree. So this is, at best, is marfu hadith. It comes from the companion. Now, from the companion, are there four people quoting from the companion? And from them, are four people quoting from them? Because if somebody is quoting what Aisha says, that if there's only one person saying that Aisha says that, or two people saying that, if there are not four, that means it's not mutawatir even in the lower chain. Aisha, fair enough, it's Aisha's story, but at least four people quoting from Aisha.
Okay,
and then from those four people, at least,
Eric,
At least four people quoting from them.
We just go
we don't find that. So this hadith is not Qutbat al-Hadith.
Okay, let's... We did, and that's okay. We did, but that's okay. I mean, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah.
My goodness, he showed
you. No. You show me four different books, five different books. That book is not
written. No. We didn't. Let's go. Okay, let's go back. Hold on. Let's go back. It's okay. Let's just go back. It's all right. Let's go back. All right. So this is narrated Aisha. Now we. All right. Okay. No. Hold on. Let me make this bigger so we can see it. Can you guys see this? You can see this, okay?
Oh, that's perfect. Yep.
Okay. All right. Let's go down. Okay. So you have Bukhari. Now, does that count since it's Bukhari? Is this what you're saying? That just because Bukhari says it, it does not count because this is narrated directly from Aisha. Is that what you're saying, Abbas?
No, Eric, that's not what he's saying. No.
Oh, okay.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
All right. What are you saying then?
It has to have at least four people saying so and so and so and so and so and so.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
We have six Hadith scholars, and they all say the same thing, which would be kind of weird, given the fact that every single one of the canonized Hadith collections are all saying that she was, you know, 9 years old. But the thing is, when you find a Hadith that says it's narrated by Aisha, you're not going to find so-and-so her, so-and-so, because it's saying narrated by Aisha.
Right. The buck stops here when you read that.
Okay.
That's what Muslims don't want to admit. Even I know this.
Okay.
And Abbas, when it's Aisha, it is Mutawafid. Okay? It is, and you're just not wanting to
accept
it.
No, it's not. Abbas,
yes,
I
very well. For over 30 years of this stupid stuff, Abbas. Oh yes, Abbas.
Mutawatir means four people. Four people. So when Aisha, that's not mutawatir. Fine. It doesn't have to be from four companions. But at least four people quoting from Aisha. And then four people quoting from them.
Or when Muhammad speaks, according to your religion. Okay, and you're breaking from it.
No, honey.
Okay, so are you saying... Okay, so what you're saying, Abbas, is that it has to... Okay, I just want to make sure I understand this. Okay, I'm just trying to make sure I understand this. In order for it to be authentic, you have to have four people saying so-and-so said so-and-so said so-and-so said so-and-so in the same hadith? Is that... No? Okay. What am I missing here, then?
We are talking about this hadith is not mutawatir. So if it's not mutawatir, then you have to be very careful to accept this hadith. Mutawatir, yeah, of course, you can't reject it. Mutawatir, so many people are saying that. But less than that, you must critically analyze the hadith, what's going on. And last time I told you, this hadith come from all the people from Iraq. Urwa teach people in Medina for 50 years or 40 years. None of his students quote this hadith from Medina. Why? Among them was Imam Malik was one of them. So there are many plausible arguments about it, why Iraqis are quoting it and not from Medina.
But it isn't just, okay, now hold on a second. It's just not Iraqis that are quoting this. I mean, this is mainline Sunni stuff here. This isn't, no. This
is Islam. This is Islam. Now you're wanting to fight location. Okay, they're not in Medina.
No.
They're in Iraq. I mean, you see what you're doing, Abbas? You all fight, well, you don't know Arabic. Okay, fine. And then you fight, well, no, this is not Mutawafid. And then you say, oh, no, well, this is in a different location. What you're doing is you're nipping at Islam so bad that you don't have nothing left but what men say, and then you want to fight about that. You're fighting in your religion, and you're not fighting against nothing. You've tore it down, and the only one standing is you.
Tony,
you have no God. You're standing there alone in a room. There's nothing on the walls, and your house is collapsing on you. That's what's happening, Abbas. And you're still thinking you're in Islam. You've torn it down so bad, and all of y'all do. You're the only one standing.
You,
You have no God. You have yourself. And Jesus says, if you deny yourself, follow me, take up your cross, follow me, you will have eternal life. So do you want eternal life?
Okay, dead air is a bad thing. dead air is a bad thing. So we'll just move on from there. Okay. Okay. That's like asking somebody, "Do you want $1 million?" No, I don't think so. You go ahead and keep it. That's. The taxes would be terrible to begin with. We don't want to do that. All right. Okay. So, but because we spent the entire show on Sunday. Talking about this, and after you talk about it for two straight hours, your neck hurts after a while. Do I really want to discuss this some more? Let's move on to something else. But when we were looking at this, and if you look at the different, so when we start talking about all of the collections from the most trusted ones, the Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawood, Al-Nasi, four of the six, from my understanding. I don't know if there's – no, Ibn Majah also has it in there. Okay, there's five of the six most trusted compilers of the Hadith have this narration in there. So to pinpoint, well, this is from Iraq or too far north. If you're going to make that argument, then what you have to do is you have to call into question every single hadith, because if you look at the hadith, the hadith were not written down. We know this. They were not collected and compiled for 250 years after Muhammad died, and the most recent hadith that we have existing manuscript of hadith is 400 years after Muhammad died. So to say that, well, we can trust a hadith, we can trust the history of Islam, if you're going to use your criteria because you don't like the outcome, you do not like the perception of the 21st century putting some type of judgment on Muhammad for what he did back in the 7th century, then you have to call into question the entire historicity of Islam itself, because Islam develops its history not from the Quran, because there's nothing in the Quran that confirmed that it was from the 7th century. There's nothing in archaeology that confirms it's from the 7th century. The only history that we have from Islam is from the Hadith.
Actually, Eric, Connie has a great video to play regarding the Hadith.
Does Connie have that available? I don't know.
You only send it through Drive?
No, I want you to play it on your. Are you on your phone right now or something? No,
yes, sir. I'm on my phone.
Oh.
Do you want me to send it to you?
Yeah. How big is it?
It's just 2 minutes. It's a small little baby video.
Hold on. You have it read? Oh. Well, there you go.
So if I can just make a quick point here, I'm listening to Abbas and. His the way he's discussing and arguing his point is as if his approach allows him to accept hadith that he likes and to reject the ones that are not convenient to him. With all due respect, that seems to be what's happening to me. That his approach would allow him, he says, what is reasonable. So
right. Well, this is what, if you look at this, I have a great analogy for that. Well, I have a contemporaneous, you like, look at these words here, these are big words, this is why I get paid the big bucks to do the show. We have a contemporaneous example of this today. When we look at with what's going on in our country today, trying to pull down all of our statues. Of, as a matter of fact, New York, they want to take down the statue of Thomas Jefferson. Well, why do they want to do that? Well, he owned slaves. We'll pull down the statue of George Washington. Well, he owned slaves. Pull down the statue of so-and-so. He owned slaves. He was a slaver. You know, it's like, cut off, it's like the French Revolution. Cut off their head. Cut off their head. Cut off their head. Cut off. Until everybody, you know, pretty soon, you know, like, well, let's stop cutting off people's heads here, and let's do the same thing with our own nation's history. Let's not teach it. Let's deny that it existed, or anybody that had anything to do with the bad parts of it, we're not going to mention that. Well, the same thing is here with
we have statues of Muhammad on what our judicial court?
It's right there in the Supreme Court building. It actually is.
Are they going to climb up there and pull him down too?
I don't know. I'd like to see him try.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. The way things are being run in D.C. tonight, they might just allow that. Okay, Rad, what is this? Is this that video you were talking about? Go ahead. It's 2 minutes. Let's go ahead and play this Hamajama. Turn it up nice and loud. Nope.
No, sir.
Nope. What is this? What do you got a bunch of money flying around for? What is this? Did you make this, Connie?
I did.
That's cool. Okay, Rad, what you have to do is when you share this, when you share your screen, you have to hit that audio box in the bottom left. So unshare. I'm going to remove you. Let me remove you. Oops, did I kick the Rad out? I think I removed his share. Okay, now try resharing it, Rad. Rad, try to reshare. Did I kick Rad out? I might have kicked Rad out. That would have been a bad thing.
Is the boss with us?
Yeah, boss is still here. No, he's still here.
Yes,
okay, go ahead, Rad. Reshare it, but click that box when you share it. Well, how do we normally do it?
Let me send it to you through.
All right, let's try it again. There you go. All right. No. Okay.
Drive. Just get it in Google Drive in our folder.
You know what? If you sent it to me, Connie, on, let's see, did you send this to me? Because I've seen this before, it seems like.
Yeah, it's on our group.
Okay, that's okay. Well, if he's going to play it from the group, I should be able to grab it from the group too, shouldn't I? Because I'm like in the group. Wait a second. Wait a minute. Here it is. I got it. It's right here. Okay. Let's see.
I think you can download it in there, and then you can play it.
It's a very simple to get a very difficult question.
Can you hear that?
Google Drive. No, sir.
All right.
I can't even see it.
For Pete's sake, what's wrong with you guys? All right, so let me remove this. Stop screen share. All right, let me restart from the beginning here. Share, screen, ba-bing, ba-boom, schwada-schwing, schwada-schwoom. Here we go. Okay, you can see this. Yes?
Yes.
East emails.
Can you hear it?
Yes, sir.
Actually, I don't know where he's emailing from. He doesn't say where. And it's a very simple and yet a very difficult question. How can we tell if a hadith is authentic or not? And, brother, I wish I could give you an easier answer, but the fact of the matter is that there is no way for a layperson to tell whatsoever. In fact, the only thing a layperson can do is to blindly follow. It is like asking a non-specialist in medicine that how can you tell whether you have this virus or that virus. In reality, you are completely muqallid or dependent upon the specialist in the field. And if two doctors differ, then you have to decide which of two doctors you trust. Two hadith doctors differ, you have to decide which one you trust as well. So there's no easy way to tell, because the science of hadith is one of the most complicated sciences about verifying hadith and whatnot. And generally speaking, if you find the big giants in this field agree that a hadith is authentic, so one of the biggest names is Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar, Al-Asqalani, died 862. Hajar, or you have al-Nawawi, you know, or you have great ulama al-Iraqi of the past, Zahabi. You have great ulama of that time frame that, you know, have come comments on many, many, many hadiths. So if one of them says, I believe this hadith is authentic, then you know what? As a lay person, just take it and, you know, you may go with it. And if, you know, one of them has said it is not authentic, then, you know, take that advice as well. If a hadith comment says, recite this surah. Okay, well, even if it's weak or not, no big deal. Recite the surah, it's the Quran at the end of the day. And I hope that, inshallah, it doesn't confuse you more, because in the end of the day, there is an element of blind following that needs to be done. Follow the distinct is knowledge of the highest, and Allah will not ask you more than that.
Wow, that's pretty good.
At the end of the day, there is an element of blind following that needs to be done.
Yeah, maybe I'm not. Okay.
Emails. I don't know where he's emailing from.
All right.
That's the end.
That's another. Wow, that, who wrote the superior edit? Let's see. This video should have come with an ellipsis.
Can I make an observation here? I just looked up the word science. And the word science is the intellectual and practical activity encompassing the systematic study of the structure and behavior of the physical and natural world through observation and experiment. What they call hadith science is not the science. It's focus. It's a way of trying to confuse people and explain a bounce check. That's really what it's about. Mm-hmm. And that's what you just heard there.
Yasser Qadhi.
Yeah, from Yasser Qadhi. Yeah, that's what you just
heard. Well, my question would be, okay, here's my question. Where do we get the principles for the science of the hadith? Where do we find that? Okay, that's fine, but where do we find that, though?
There's a book.
No, I tell you where we find it. We find it in the hadith. It sounds a little circular to me. I don't know.
That's why Abbas is cutting from it, because he can't. It's like trying to take water and nail it to the wall. You can't do it.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead, Abbas. You wanted to.
What I'm saying is not something new. I'm going to quote you one great scholar of the law. What it is not how he explained how we take the narration. And this is Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi. In his book called Al-Faqih Wal-Mutafaqin, Volume 1, page 354. I'm not going to read Arabic. I'm going to translate it in English. It says that. And bear with me, it will take me maybe a couple of minutes to read it. He laid down five principles to how to work trustworthiness.
Who is this guy again?
In his book Al-Faqih Wal-Mutafaqin, Volume 1, page 354. He said, when a trustworthy and reliable narrator reports a narrative whose chain is also continuous, it will be rejected on the basis of the following points. First, if it is against what sense and reason entail, this will show that it is baseless because the Sharia is in accordance with what sense and reason entail and not against them. Secondly, if it is against the injunctions of the Book of God, or against Sunnah, Al-Mutawatira, this would show that it has no basis or that it is abrogated. Thirdly...
Hold on, stop. I'm writing this down. Book of God and Sunnah. And Sunnah. Okay, got it. Go. Got it. Mm-hmm.
Thirdly, if it is against consensus, this would show that it has no basis or that it is abrogated, because it is not possible that it be correct and not be abrogated, and still there comes into being the consensus of the Ummah against it. Fourthly, something which had to be known by everyone is just related through one narrator, like Aisha. Everyone should know when she got married, or it's only from Aisha. This would mean that it has no basis, because it is not possible that something have a basis and among all the people only one person reports it. Fifthly, he says, something is reported by one person which naturally should be narrated through tawatur by many people. Such a thing also will not be accepted, because it is not possible that such an incident is reported. reported by only one person. That's why I said earlier, last time as well, why only Aisha is reporting it? Why not Abu Huraira said anything about it? Why not her father said anything about it? Why not Umar said anything about it? Why only Aisha? So that's why I know Brother Kumar Phobia say, oh, it's Aisha's story. Yeah, but everybody know when Prophet got married. Why they don't didn't say Aisha got married entirely? Why only has to come through only from Aisha? So that's why, in that sense, this is not possible, such an incident only quoted by one person. Who say that? One of the great scholars of the past. He say we reject these reports on these five things.
Okay, so let's make an application. Let's make an application of it then. Can we do that?
Okay. Where were these guys, what time frame did they live?
Yeah.
That's not the point right now, because we're just in a muddy little hobby. Yeah,
it's a Hadith scholar.
What year did he live? What year did al-Baghdadi live?
After Bukhari?
What year did al-Baghdadi live?
After Bukhari.
Okay, hold on. Stop. Okay, we're talking over each other. Okay, when did the scholar, okay, Abbas, this guy that you just quoted, is he alive today or when did he live?
Yeah, I'm looking into it. He lived about over 1,000 years ago.
Okay, all right, so 1,000 years ago. So this is, okay, so this is after Bukhari, because Bukhari is what, 900? Okay. So let's look at some of his arguments here then. The first one that says it's against consensus. Okay. Is the consensus today? I'm not going to sit here and go through all of them. I just want to look at some of these. So if it goes against consensus, it's not authentic then. You can't say it's authentic. Is that right? Or you can't trust it. Is that your position? Okay, that's number one. Okay, so the consensus today is that Aisha was 9.
Can you hear that, Abbas?
There's a couple other ones. There's a couple other ones also.
That's right.
When you say one narrator, when you look at one narrator.
He named number one.
Okay, so if one of them is violated, okay, so that would throw out the hadith about Moses taking a bath and a rock running off of his clothes. Am I correct on that? Would that throw out that hadith? The hadith. I don't know what hadith it. I'd have to look at it. The hadith. Moses is taking a bath. But that's against reason, where a rock steals somebody's clothes because he doesn't want to show his nards. Now, come on. Okay, so Deuceval, hold on.
Okay, Eric, he just said that it's mutawafa. He just said it.
What's mutawafa? The rock running off with Moses' clothes? I thought it runs with that. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. So let's just pretend. Okay. Rocks run off with people's clothes. All right. So, okay. I agree with that. But when we say reason though, why would God create a rock to run off with somebody's clothes? I mean, okay. All right.
I'm there. admitted that her age was 9 years old, and that is the consensus of the scholars. So the real issue is here, why do you go against that consensus? You know what I mean? Why do you go against the consensus of the scholars on this issue?
You're echoing a bar. I don't hear an echo. You guys hear it?
I hear an echo.
All right.
I hear you.
Now all of us are echoing.
I'm not echoing.
I'm echoing.
Are you echoing? Hold on. Okay. How about now?
I can hear
echoes. All right. How about now?
I can hear
echoes. All right. Everybody mute yourself.
Good.
Ready? 1, 2, 3. Mute. Okay, now can you hear me echoing? Okay, so you had to unmute yourself. Did Connie sound like she was echoing?
No.
Okay, did Rad sound like he was echoing?
No.
Abbas, come up. Hello, say hello. Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Okay, does he sound like he's echoing?
No.
All right, John.
I don't know. Do I sound like I'm echoing?
It sounds like you're in a garbage can, but you're not echoing. Okay. Okay, George. All right. Everybody, no, hold on. Let George. Maybe it's George, because George is always the bad guy on these things. George, come up on mic. Everybody else, mute.
Testing.
All right. Well, we must. Okay. I had the audios open on my.
How about we set up a rule? Unless you're speaking, mute yourself. You know what I mean?
Okay. All right, that's reasonable. Okay, if you're not speaking, mute yourself. All right, so who was talking last? Was it Abbas talking last, or was it George? Or was it Rad?
Yes. Abbas, I have a question for you. What does the word Sahi mean to you?
Sahi is something graded by the scholars that something is authentic. That's what it means to you, that they say it's authentic.
Okay, so the scholars say that the hadith of Aisha saying she was 9 when she was started having sex with Muhammad, they say that is authentic. Are you saying you don't agree with the scholars?
Yes, and I have a reason for that.
Okay, so you're saying then that you disagree with your own scholars. Your own scholars are unreliable. What they say cannot be trusted, correct?
What we're saying is scholars are human beings and they can make mistakes, and that's the mistake they made. And even not only me, a scholar like Muhaddis like Sheikh Albani, just died 30 years ago. He was a great Muhaddis of the 20th century. He rejected many books, hadith from Bukhari and Muslim, and he said they are not sahih. Some of them he said Hassan, and some of them he said Zaif. But even he, a known scholar, a learned man, can do that. So that means it's possible that those who say they are sahih, they are not really sahih, and they have hidden defects.
Okay.
Do you consider yourself Abbas, do you consider yourself more Shia of the persuasion than Sunni?
No, I think I consider myself more towards Sunni than Shia, even though I am half and half. My father was a Shia, my mother was a Sunni, and I learned in the end that...
Holy cow, what do you guys do at Christmas if your mom's a Sunni and your dad's a Shia?
But they're all my brothers. I consider all of them Muslims, but I don't call myself any, but I think my position towards more towards Sunni.
Oh, boss, tell me, if your mom is Shia and your dad is Sunni, or what was it, your mom was Sunni and your dad is Shia?
Yeah.
How do you what do you guys do at Christmas, for crying out loud? I mean, does the family come over? Or I'm kidding. That's a bad joke. I'm sorry. That's like Catholics and Protestants marrying each other. You know, they're just.
No, seriously, my little sister born on a Christmas.
Right. Oh, that's good. That's cool. And well, okay, and the Sunnis hate Ali. Well, not all of them do, I guess, but
the Shia better hate Ali.
Yeah,
I remember what. Never mind. Okay, we had a boss logged in twice here. Which one aren't you? Go ahead and drop off the one that you're not using, if you can. There we go. Okay, good.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. All right, go ahead.
Yes. Okay. I didn't hear that very clearly. I was disconnected for some reason. Can, brother, can you just repeat that again very quickly, what you said?
Sure. Well, speaking on the whole Sunni Shia thing,
drop, or is that just me? I think I can hold. There he is.
Can you say again?
Okay, Abbas, the last 20 seconds. Repeat the last 20 seconds of what you said. Okay.
Against her great aunt.
I just want to correct something that Abbas said.
He made a broad statement when he said that the Iraqis are Shia. About the majority are Shia. 70% of the population, the Muslim population, is Shia, but about 30% is Sunni.
That's fair enough.
Majority
were Shia, and this is possible. This is what happened to her. And so Urwa made the number because they were accused. Because the story was there. You know, Munafiqun, Quran says they were accusing. They were spreading rumors that Aisha had an affair with her. With him. So there were people like that. So there's a plausible argument, and it makes sense why it comes from Iraq and none of from Medina quoting this page. So I just want to share that with you. I think I just wanted to today just to clarify the Nisa thing, because last time, remember, we talked about the Nisa and Chris asked me a question. But if you have a time, I can explain that to you. But if you don't, maybe next time. Actually, I invited them to come here. I was going to clarify.
Did you go on his show the next day after you guys got done? Did you guys go on? Did you go on his show the next on Monday?
No. My challenge is still there, but he's not taking my challenge. They invite me. I'll answer your question. He won't answer my question. And I don't know if you guys like to answer my question. I don't know. I'm new in this show.
What was the question? I don't even remember. You guys were yelling at each other, and I was just getting kind of annoyed with the yelling back and forth.
No. I came here today. Remember, he says that we talked about chapter 17. Remember, I was saying chapter 17 was revealed in Makkah? And he says, no, you are lying. Half of it revealed in Makkah, half of it revealed in Medina. Remember? He says that when I was saying, I as a layman can prove Ibn Abbas wrong. Because Ibn Abbas thought he was in Medina, but it was actually in Makkah. But he said, no, you're wrong. Ibn Abbas right. So this is, I have one little evidence. If you see yourself, that he was, Adam Sikor was wrong, and I was right. The whole chapter 17, was revealed in Makkah. Because if you go to second last verse of chapter 17, it's talking about the incident which took place in Makkah. Do you want me to explain that to you?
Does it make a hill of beans? Does it make a hill of beans, though, where it was revealed? Does it make a hill of beans where it was revealed?
Yes. Chapter 17, then we're going to go to Tafsir of Ibn Abbas. Ibn Abbas is saying that it's in Makkah. One of the last verses of that chapter.
I wanted to make a point here about the hadith when we start talking about – hold on. Let me move this back here. The dates of the classical account of Muhammad. You got Muhammad dying in 630. Can you guys see this? Do I have this on the screen?
Yes, sir. This looks great.
Okay. Here's the reason why I'm putting this up, Abbas, is because, you know, you can say that. I'll show it here in just a second. The reason why I'm putting this up is because when you start saying, well, this verse was revealed in Mecca, this verse was revealed in Medina, so-and-so said such-and-such, and such-and-such said so-and-so, or, you know, whatever. You know, it for me, as somebody who's looking at it from, you know, the 35,000-foot level, looking down on the history, the science behind the hadith and all this that is talked about, I'm a history guy. That's my undergrad work is history. I have a bachelor's in history, and I know what the historical method is, and I know how historical facts are arrived at. So when you try to do history, you try to get as close to the original sources, supported by a multiplicity of different sources and sciences to support facts. For instance, if we were to try to support the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, well, we have a multiplicity of manuscript documents attesting to that fact. People who were historians at the time attest to it. The gospel most certainly attests to it. But then we also have archaeological evidence that supports that, you know, this existed in Jerusalem at this time, which lends veracity and credibility to the report. Okay, that's how it's all done. But when we look at Islam, it's like it's something completely different. It's like a history that is derived out of thin air, and it's compiled hundreds of years after the events that it is talking about. You know, if we were to talk about, okay, well, he dropped off. Doggone it. If we were to talk about the Quran, where did the Quran come from, its history behind it? You know, I've said here, you know, several times on this show and posted some of the carbon-14 testing dates of the Sana Quran, which predate the Quran, for crying out loud, by 2 centuries. So when we look at the history of Islam itself, it begins, of course, with the death of Muhammad. And when after the death of Muhammad, you have his biography, the Sirah. Who's got a hot mic here? Boss, is that you, I think? I'm going to mute you. If you want to come up on mic, go on ahead. You have the Sirah written by Ibn Ishaq. Now, look at where's my laser pointer here? Is this it? There we go. Look at the date here. Can you guys see that date? Ibn Ishaq is writing the biography for Muhammad 100 years after the guy's dead. This would be like me trying to compile the biography of Abraham Lincoln today. Or no, not Abraham Lincoln. There's nobody around. Exactly. And then we don't even have Ibn Ishaq's writing. In order to get to the biography, we got to go with Ibn Hisham. That's 200 years after the death of Muhammad. That's just to get to his biography. Oops, what do I got here?
Wow, that's almost as old as America. 200 years,
who
right?
Put that up? John put that up there. Yeah. Okay. And then when we get to what do we got next here? Let's look at what we got next. Is Hadith, the sayings of Muhammad. Bukhari, who's 240 years after the death of Muhammad. Muslim, 240 plus years. Tirmidhi, 240 years. Abu Dawud, all of these guys living 250 years after Muhammad. Then the commentaries are almost 300 years after the death of Muhammad. So look at this. If you look at the span of these dates, this isn't how history's done. History is done. Uh-oh, who's got a hot mic again? Is that the boss? Sounds like.
And to put it in context, Eric, none of this could be admitted in a court of law as evidence.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Yeah. You're right. Because if you look at, you know, I know this firsthand. Hearsay evidence is inadmissible. You cannot admit in hearsay evidence. So and so said that he heard from so and so is hearsay. That's inadmissible in court of law.
Yeah.
So. I know, and here's the beauty of it, and I just learned this tonight, and I this is why I love doing the show, because you learn something every time you do it, is that in order for something to be considered, what's it called, Mutawafa, okay, in order to be called Mutawafa, whatever it's called, okay, in order to be considered that, it not only has to be hearsay, it has to be uber hearsay times four. So to me, that's just yeah. Okay. So when we look at the classical account of this, now look at the distance and direction. And this is what I wanted to point out to Abbas. When you look at the distance and the direction of these traditions. No, I'm not showing. All right.
Oh yeah.
There you are. I can't zoom it in. I don't know how to zoom it in with pound. Is there a way to do it? Previous, last, next,
yeah.
Zoom. Oh, yeah, where it says zoom in. Okay, so when you look.
Oh, man, that's perfect.
Man, am I a wizard or what? Okay, but now I can't figure out how to unzoom. There we go. Okay, so if you look at what the traditions say, the distance and the direction of these hadith. Okay, so we go Baghdad. Now, that is in Iraq. So who wrote from Iraq? Ibn Hisham writes from Iraq, which is Basra. Are you going to throw out the Sirah because Ibn Hisham is from Iraq? Everything that's in the Sirah, I guess you can't trust because it's from Iraq. I mean, it's probably an overstatement. Let's see here. So Cairo to Mecca is 1,600 kilometers. Okay, now you have Basra here, who is from Bukhari. Look at Bukhari. Look at that. Hold on. You guys can't see that. Hold on. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to zoom in. Look how far this is from Mecca to Bukhara. This is where al-Bukhari is from. So that is 4,200 kilometers. You can't even see that. So that's 4,200 kilometers away.
Yeah, but what's that in miles, dude? I don't know.
Okay, that's 0.61 miles. Okay, well, just do the math, guys. It's 2,300 miles, 2,400 miles, more or less, give or take a couple hundred. Who knows? But it's let's just put it this way. It's like going from New York to California. That's how far away it is. On a camel.
Yeah, and just look at the map. You can tell. This
yeah.
is Bukus.
Yeah, okay, and then you look at Tabati.
Did they have telephone and internet at the time?
I think they did. depends on, well, you know, this is where you have these anachronisms. I'm so kind of surprised.
Can I interject? Mr. Abbas, Mr. got knocked out. He says, can you please send me the link?
Ah, okay. I'm sorry. All right. Yeah. All right.
Hey, and when you get a chance, I wanted to share the screen because it has to deal with that chapter. I think it's chapter 17 that they were fighting over yesterday about being Mecca or Medina.
Right.
Am
okay.
I correct? It's chapter 17?
I don't know. I think that's what he said. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, because, I've got a source that has the breakdown of these chapters.
Okay. So I just put the StreamYard link into
yeah.
chat. If a boss pulls that up, I just okay. There he is. He's back. Okay.
If you see chapter 17, which in reality is actually chapter 50, if you go by the chronological order, it's Mecca. But except for verses 26, 32, 33, 57, and 73 through 80 is from Medina. Now, I don't know which verse they were fighting over, but it's not all from Mecca.
And it's not all from Medina. It's
right.
A mix mash.
Wow. So smart and you can look at this, and they'll tell you. And this is the problem that you can tell that this was put together by a man. Because you know that Muhammad was 12 years in Mecca.
Okay, we just hold on. Hold on just a second. We just had somebody called Samadhi pop in. I do not know Samadhi.
It's probably him again.
Well, hold on, Abbas. Okay, Abbas, are you Samadhi there or no? Okay, so if this Samadhi person wants to come on, I got to see your face, buddy. I'm just saying. Listen, no. Because here's the thing, guys. These guys have been coming on to other people's show. I don't know, and I'm not saying that this Samadhi person would do this, but there have been people going on to other people's show and showing pornography as their icon or whatever, and I'm not going to bring somebody on here unless I can see their face, or they can pop in chat. Tell me who you are in chat, and
can I make two quick points?
We only have about 7 minutes left in the show, but yeah, go ahead.
7 minutes? It's only 1:19. Don't we have like 40 minutes left?
I don't want it to be something that the science can be tested and you can run an experiment on it, and you can observe the results of it. What we're seeing with the Quran, or what they're calling Quran sciences, it's basically just the opinions of different scholars, depending on their situation and depending on where they live in the world. The other thing, and I'd like to challenge Abbas on this respectfully, Abbas made a point earlier where he said, oh, one of the problem is it's about her age. There's a problem there because they left off the one. She was 19, but they left off the one, and it looked like it was 9. Now, of course, I don't accept that, but I want to. But I looked at the Arabic, and I'm wondering, how is it possible, written in Arabic, that a one would be left off to confuse 19 with 9?
Yeah, I can answer that for you. That's very easy. It's not like letters they were writing. It's not one, actually. It's the 10 of the 19 runners. When the Arab says 19, they say Tissa tul Ashar. Tissa means 9. Ashar means 10. Tissa tul Ashar. What one of the plausible arguments is that Urwa, in his old age, Hisham, he dropped Ashar and he just said Tissa. So he dropped 10. It's not like number one they were writing, is that he dropped that 10. So they, what they heard, he said Tissa.
Okay.
His students. So that's why they write Tissa, and he forgot to say Ashar.
All right. So I could say that he really wanted to say that rockets go to the moon. But I can't do that.
So I'm making a madman.
Okay, so you're saying that he was getting senile and probably mentally challenged. So can you prove your point that, he left out a word?
Well, okay, we don't have that much time right now. There are scholars who says about Hisham lost his memory. Well, I don't have. I have evidence, but I have to look for it. And we don't have much time. Do you have time?
Well, if Ibn Hisham lost his mind and he's a historian, that's a very dangerous thing.
Seriously, I have read that his three students used to tell three different things to us in his later age. Hisham, it's very well known that Hisham lost his memory in the later age. But I want to say one more thing. One more thing I want to say. Very quickly, you were quoting all these people, and you quote Ibn Ishaq, didn't you? You talk about Ibn Ishaq. And do you know who Ibn Ishaq was? He was the guy, the one who wrote the first biography. He was a very dubious man. Imam Malik make him kicked out of Medina. He was actually from Medina. He make him kicked out of Medina because he was telling lies about Muhammad. So he went to Iraq. He went there, and he wrote a biography. And do you know who his grandfather was? His grandfather was Yassar, who was a Christian missionary. He used to write manuscripts of the Bible. And his son was Ishaq. Yes, so they were Christians. Most likely he was... No, not Jews. He was a Christian. His grandfather and his father, they were Christian missionaries. They used to write Bible. And then they became Muslim. You know why? Because they became slaves after Khalid bin Walid caught them from, Iraq or, sorry... Iran, when they got caught, they become slaves. The only reason he was not slave anymore because he became Muslim. So when he became Muslim, they free him, they manumitted him because he became Muslim. So it's possible. There's a whole family was hidden Christians inside, but they pretend to be Muslim. I'm not surprised. No wonder he bring all the previous stories you found, all satanic verses and everything in Ibn Ishaq. Not in the Sahih Hadith. All the dubious things in his Ibn Ishaq. So yes, Ibn Ishaq was a very dubious man.
Clearly. Okay, so...
yeah, we don't disagree with you here.
I'm sick and tired of going like this, so I'm just going to put the big old magnifying glasses on here so I can read.
Old people, trust me, I'm dealing with that.
right now with my father, they actually repeat stuff like it was today that happened to me 30 years ago. You know what I mean? And they can recall it very vividly and very clearly what happened. Okay? You see what I'm saying? So to add that...
Yes, I can answer that.
Well, hold on.
Let me answer you.
Sure. Go ahead. Well, here's the question. Why is it, okay, let's say it's true that this man was forgetful and senile, or just forgetful, then old age, and he narrated hadiths. Then why are these hadiths, why were they retransmitted if his students knew that he was senile or just forgetful in old age? In other words, as a second part of the question, how do you know that the hadiths that you are rejecting were ones that he narrated, okay, when he was in old age and forgetful?
Yes. Yes, I heard that, and you know how we know that when he narrated this hadith, he was in old age, because I said it last week. If you read the biography of Ibn Hisham Ibn Urwa, he lived in Medina for first 71 years of life. Last 10 years of his life, he lived in Iraq. So when he was teaching all the students in Medina, he was a teacher, he was the imam. None of his students from Medina quote this hadith. Only his students, when he went to Iraq, all the students in Iraq, obviously, when he was quoting them, he was in old age, because then he moved to Iraq for the last 10 years of his life. So when, otherwise, if he quote in his younger days, he should be had students from Medina quoting the same hadith. And that's a very big hidden defect in that hadith. And for me, that's a clincher, and to show me that something is not right here. And one of his student imam never quoted this hadith. Second part of the question, why many people quoted this hadith from him? Well, I can't answer that question. Maybe people don't care. They say, oh, fine, I'm gay. Who cares? The Prophet done that. So that should must be right. And they didn't question those things in those days, because probably girls used to get married at the age of 12, 13. So if he done 9, it wouldn't be a big deal in those days. So probably they didn't thought that way. But it's not true.
That's the problem. That's where your argument fails on this point. Because you were saying that people, you said that some of his students said that he was forgetful in his older age. Okay, but you were saying that he was narrating this type of thing when he was in older age, when he was not in the Medina. So it's the problem if his students knew.
Okay, Red, you're really breaking up, man. I hate to tell you that, but you're fading in and out.
Yeah.
Sorry. No. Still. You're still breaking. It's still.
Someone come back in.
Yeah.
Boss, I got a question for you. What were you discussing? Something about Adam Seeker. Was it Surah 17 that you said came from Mecca?
Yeah, 17, chapter 17. If you see from the beginning, even in the end, the Surah 17 is talking about incidents in Mecca. And not in Medina. But Adam Seeker was saying, oh no, first half probably in Medina, second half is in Mecca. But first half is in Mecca, second half is in Medina.
I've got a source here that kind of breaks down the chapters. And if you look at chapter 17...
I saw it. What source is that?
It's from...
That's the question.
You see, it comes from...
This is very important to see what source is that, how authentic the source is. We're talking about the authenticity of sources.
Okay, it's from a website called Tanzil.net, and I think it comes from a book. Yeah, it comes from a book that I believe it's called The History of the Quran by whatever the guy's name is, Alama, Abu, Abad, Allah, who may have got some names.
Yeah.
And actually... Well, I think the book is from this guy here, and whatever. I think he's German, and the book is called Blah Blah Something Qurans, and this is where they get the order from.
Yeah, well, I have to see what book is this, and I can't talk about this book. What I'm saying, what the Quran is showing me, very first verse talking about Mecca, the second last verse talking about Mecca, and in the middle as well, Mecca. So I mean, this surah is in Mecca, and this is, I believe, I may be wrong here. But there's a consensus of all the scholars, apart from this guy, that this whole surah is in Mecca. But I'm showing you from the Quran, right at the end, the end verses of talking about Mecca. So that's the point I was making. Did you get that, Eric? I was trying to make the point that Ibn Abbas was wrong, Jalalain was wrong, when they say it was in Medina, verse 76. point I was making is, as a layman,
well,
you can
verse 76 according,
you know, it's not that means scholars are always right.
Yeah, but verse 76, according to this this source,
I really
says
have to look on
the verse
what you just quote here. How authentic is this? It could be just somebody just.
Well, how authentic are let's be honest here. How authentic are your Islamic sources? You don't have any sources that are any time near Muhammad. Okay, and George was correct.
Yeah.
You guys call this science of the Hadith. Science has nothing.
Yeah, I know this source is saying that. I saw that this source is saying that, but I don't recognize this source or the scholar.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Listen.
No, I'm saying what the Quran is saying. I'm quoting what the Quran is saying. From the very first verse, the very second last verse.
Did we just lose him again?
I have a source, because I've been looking for one, and that's the best source that I could find. And I think I have the guy's book. But is there a source that has the first of all, we know that the
Quran... Okay. He just dropped.
I mean, because here's the thing. We
hold
know
on.
That the Quran is all jumbled. And what happened, Eric? We were supposed to do hadiths.
I know.
Where Muhammad was a cross dresser.
Oh, now that's okay. That's Daif. Okay. That's Daif.
Very easy answer, brother. Very easy answer. What he was reading was a piece of cloth. It was not a dress at all. It was a night wrapper, we call it. It was a night wrapper. Night wrappers are unisex. Woman night wrapper you can put on the head as well, around your waist as well. It's not like a dress, it was women's dress. It's just a thobe. Thobe is a night wrapper, even this one hadith, which says that one person died, and Muhammad says they put two thobes around him when you bury him. Thobe is a night wrapper, it's not a dress. I'm sorry, you're wrong here.
Would fit in right. That would be perfect for today. Nobody would question it today. I mean, today's climate.
It was Aisha's unhuman cloth. You know, that's a piece of cloth. You can wrap around your waist. Or you remember you saw the movie sometime, you see Jesus, he's putting something on his head, a piece of cloth. It's something like that. You can wrap around your head. He says he was lying under it. He was under that thing.
Where does it say that? Because I don't see that in the hadith.
Oh, hadith says that.
When
I'm under her thobe,
Don't ask, don't tell. Don't ask, don't tell. I'm not going there. You just don't know.
Eric, you're no fun.
Can I share something with you guys? When I do salah, pray at home, I cover my head. I'm not with a hat. I cover with my head with my wife's thobe all the time. Because they are so big, they cover my head. I do salah when I do the prostration.
Oh, dude, you're getting slapped.
No, because there's no problem. But I don't take it to the mosque. I don't, when I go to the mosque, I won't wave that.
Don't get caught dead with that in public now. That'd be bad form.
I won't do it before men. Why
and some of them are brown color, very plain color, white color, green color. I just put it on.
Okay, top. I got a couple of things that I want points that I want to make, and then we're gonna. Let me make a couple points here, and we're going to go ahead and close out. Okay, we could have gone over all kinds of. I had all kinds of a fun hadith to go through, and you know, the bottom line is when we look at these hadith, you know, Bukhari was given 700,000, 600,000 of these things, and he's told to find the most authentic there, and then he gets it down to what are they 6,000 of them. Am I wrong on this number?
7,300.
Okay, all right. So he gets it.
2,500.
Right. Okay. So you have this guy. He's given all these ideas. This is just Bukhari. It has nothing. You know, this isn't the other five guys that we talk about. And then you start saying, okay, well, these hadiths that he said that were authentic are not authentic either. So this it becomes very problematic for somebody sitting on the outside looking in on this. You can't even make a decision whether something that was supposed to be – I mean, we don't even know what those 600,000 plus even said. I'd hate to think what they would said based on the way that we're treating the hadith, the sahih, that's most trusted today. But that's neither here nor there. But I really liked your comment about Ibn Ishaq being a devious man. His dad was a Christian, a missionary.
Yes,
a Christian. We know how those Christian missionaries are. Okay, but the point I'm trying to make on that is that, okay, so even the compiler of the biography of Muhammad were putting these aspersions, we're impugning the guy's character, even the guy that is supposed to be the trusted compiler of his biography. So when we, and this is why this is just so difficult for somebody like me to try to crack that nut that you're in there, Abbas, because there's not a lot based on what we've seen and based on what I've heard this evening and based on what I've heard this Sunday. And I don't want you to take this personally, but it just sounds to me like there's not a lot of consistency in the application of you know, what you believe and what you will believe. And if you believe it, you know, if you believe that, I'm not going to try to slice and dice, you know, how you arrive at all these different conclusions, because we'd be here all night. But it just seems to me that there's not a lot of consistency on the application based on the information that is being analyzed. And for an example, the age of Aisha. I mean, this is what we talked about Sunday and what we spent too much time talking about tonight. But based on that, I mean, here's a great point. And this is the hadith that Jay sent me during the show on Sunday, and I didn't see it. But this one, oops, where am I at? Right here. Here we go. This one says it was narrated from Aisha that the Messenger of Allah married her when she was 9. Now, what your argument is, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that they left off the 10 there, or the 10 whatever. They left off. Like, instead of 9, it should have said 19. But the problem with that is that it goes on to say, and he died when she was 18. So when you make that argument, it's just not consistent with what the entire hadith says there. Because how can you marry somebody when she's 19, but you be dead when she's 18? So there's not, like I was saying, there's just not a lot of consistency in your argumentation. But like I was mentioning before, I do appreciate your abject honesty with. Okay, I'll give you – no, you got – okay, you got 32 seconds.
Okay.
31.
First of all, why Ibn Ishaq was pretending? Because we know in the history there are people who became Muslim, but they were not Muslim. One of them was Moses Maimonides, who lived in the time of Spanish Inquisition. He admitted that he was Jew, but he became Muslim, then Jew again. He has to pretend to be a Muslim. But then, secondly, this hadith, what you're quoting right now, it's not come from Urwa. What I said, but of the Urwa's memory – Hisham is not in this hadith. He is not in the chain. But in this chain, we see there is an Iraqi person. So we're talking about the memory of Hisham. So this is somebody else
quoting from Aisha. It's not Hisham. I said to you, 11 of them are from Hisham, 3 are not from Hisham. So this is Hisham has nothing to do with it. So the question of memory doesn't fall into this. That's what I can say.
Okay, so the compilers, Bukhari, Muslim, Al-Nasri, whoever the other two were, the five that said, they all got that wrong then. They didn't make the mistake, but they considered a hadith that should have been da'if, should not have been authentic, but they considered that authentic. That's your stance on that?
What they quoted, they thought it was right, and we find the hidden defects in it, and we find it now. Probably they didn't find it that time. Maybe we are living in a time when we have more information than they had at that time. It's possible.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Abbas, do you read Arabic?
I read Arabic, but I'm not fluent in Arabic. But as a Muslim, I read Arabic, and words that I want to understand, I understand some of the words. Or it's not difficult to understand.
So if I gave you something to read in Arabic, would you be able to translate it?
No.
Oh,
I
won't
be able to translate it. I mean, some of the words, yes, but I will get the gist of it, but I wouldn't be able to translate everything.
Okay, guys. George, do you have anything to add here? I'm going to do a Connie close.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Here we go.
I like Abbas. I think he tends to be a reasonable type of person. But I don't – his reasoning, as you pointed out, I mean, it has holes in it. As to call it Yasakar, it has holes in his narrative, if I can put it that way.
Mm.
But to be quite honest with you, Abbas, if I was thinking of becoming a Muslim, or it's for the first time I was thinking about it, and I was listening to your reasoning, personally, I would not be impressed. Why? Because you are throwing your scholars, hundreds of years of Islamic scholarship, you are throwing them under the bus. And the reason why you're, in my opinion, with all due respect, the reason why you're forced to throw them under the bus is because Western thought and analysis is now being applied to this material, and the weaknesses in Islam is being shown. So you have had to create an argument to say, okay, I accept this, I don't accept that. You've basically created a convenient way to get out of the inconvenient problems in the narrative that we have.
Yeah, it's what we see here is we see the two clashes of civilizations and religious viewpoints coming to fruition here, where you have the Western value of protecting children, and I don't want to say Muslims don't protect their children at all, but it's basically what we're going to talk about on Sunday, George, which is the Islamic war on women. That's the topic for Sunday, folks. Just saying. That's right. We have a topic before Saturday night. But it's just the application of it here in the West. We would never do these types of things to little – well, we won't do these type of things to little girls in the West today, just as you admitted earlier that Muhammad was engaged in slavery. Well, we would not do that today in the Western world. But if Muhammad did it, well, then it's Sunnah. So therefore, since Muhammad did it, it's okay to do it. All right. Let's go with Connie. Did you have anything left for the cause here tonight? She must be sitting in her corner. Oh, I thought you were sitting in your corner. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, right. well, he said a couple times that he's just a layman.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, Yasir Qadhi in that video that, it took me 2 days to make it, and making sure I'm accurate and showing what Yasir Qadhi is saying and keeping him in context. But actually, Yasir Qadhi is telling him that since he's a layman, he's got to be like a blind follower, because he cannot know, the full truth when it comes to what hadith is authentic. So it's causing men to rely on men. I mean, it's like, can't you ask your Allah to tell y'all? After 1,400 years, you got all this mess of a book. Why don't y'all just, why haven't y'all? I mean, maybe in the past 200 years, rewritten the Hadith that is authentic and go with that, and then let the world judge it and critique it. But instead, y'all kept all these books, and it's all a mess. Everybody's disagreeing, or most people are disagreeing with everybody else. And then that's what we hear y'all regurgitate it. But Yasser Qadhi said, you're basically following blindly. You're a blind follower because you're a layman.
All right. Let's go with Abbas. Do you have anything before we close up?
To Brother Joy, I like to say I am not rejecting things because I like to reject them because they are not very pleasant. When I read the material of Hadith, I see, and I show you the other day, Brother Eric Smith, and you agree with me, there are contradicting Hadith, even Sahih Hadith, even in the simple matter of how old Muhammad was when he died. And they are all Sahih Hadith and they contradict. So the common sense tells us something that contradicts both can't be right. Both can be wrong, but both can't be right. That's my position when I read the Hadith, so I read it with very critical eye. And Sister Connie says a very important thing that Yasser Qadhi says, follow as a blind believer. I don't believe that at all, because if I was a blind follower, then I would be one or the other, Sunni, Shia, Brahmi, Sufi, or Hanafi, Maliki. Even though when I read the Quran says nothing like that. Quran says you are a Muslim. Who's better in speech than the one who believes in Allah and did righteous deeds and say, I am a Muslim. Ibrahim was a Muslim. Jesus was a Muslim. So when I read the Quran with the critical analysis of Sahih Hadith and Quran, there's no way it says you have to be Sunni or Shia. But if you're a blind follower, then just follow whatever your imam says. So that's why in Islam there are so many factions. Because they are blind followers. One light thing. I will tell you in a second. One last thing I want to say. One great scholar, Shah Waliullah Dehlvi, 300 years ago he lived. And he says, the greatest fitna of our ummah is the blind following of the imam. That's what he says. And I believe that many people follow their imams blindly, even though they should have followed Allah and his messenger. That's what I'm trying to do. With open mind, if somebody is there to correct me, I'm ready to be corrected. But if not, then I don't tell me to follow because the imam said that.
Sorry. All right, we got to wrap.
Where do you get that from?
Chapter 20, verse 130.
It says that in the Quran?
Five. Count it, how many prayers are there? Chapter 20, verse 130.
You don't get that from the Hadith?
In Hadith as well.
But you believe that?
Is it in brackets on
the
five?
I'm not saying that I reject every Hadith. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying I read Hadith with critical analysis.
That you find convenient.
I read it to what Sheikh al-Baghdadi says, that five principles. He said a similar thing as well. Use your common sense and all these things. I read it to you. So I don't believe every Hadith, every Sahih Hadith. I read with open mind and I can show you many Hadith which says Sahih, and I'll show you the hidden defection.
Okay, let's go with John. Do you have anything left?
Yeah, I mean, I got the impression that Abbas says that, okay, how can we trust the Hadith from these guys? You know, because they're men and they make mistakes and they forget stuff, right? And Hadiths contradict. Yeah, I agree with him. I could find three Hadiths that are back to back to back that contradict each other. But then again, by his logic, I can dismiss the Quran because Muhammad forgot revelations and had to be reminded. Muhammad supposedly got revelation as ringing bells. Now, how asinine does that sound? You got revelations as ringing bells. And there's contradictions in the Quran. There's historical and scientific errors in the Quran. We're not even going to touch the stupidity and the copied stories that came from man-made sources that somehow made their way into the Quran, which is supposed to be the words of Allah.
We've done shows on that before. The stories from the Talmud, Midrash, Gnostic sources, right. Syriac folklore. All right, Dr. Radical Moderate, and that's fine. You don't have to agree with it.
Next time around, I'll challenge you, all of you, to show me one contradiction in the Quran, inshallah.
Well, we weren't talking. No, we weren't. Okay, we weren't talking. We weren't speaking of contra. We weren't.
But we did a show on that, right?
We did.
And I would love
funny that I'm sorry to say that it was.
Well, we're not laughing at you because we wanted you to come to God and have salvation.
I was just laughing that you were making some claims and they were actually wrong. And I was just fine.
Translated
by Muslims.
Okay, no, let's just, okay. Let's, Dr. Radical Moderate.
It's about time.
Okay, you got a whole list. You got a couple minutes, mister. Well, let's see if I got something. Hold on, let's see if I got something for that. Yeah, I have the. Yeah. Well, thank you. There's.
I'd like to invite a boss to one of my live streams, and he can go over the contradictions or explain away the contradictions.
Okay. Well, go ahead and a boss. Do I?
Yeah, sure.
Do I have your email, or are we friends on Facebook?
I don't have any social media apart from email or WhatsApp. I don't use Facebook or anything.
You don't have an email account?
I have email account. I have email, but not Facebook or anything else.
Okay, can you do me a favor? I'm going to post the email.
I have your email address. I have.
Oh, okay.
Screenshot last time and you gave it to me, so I'll send you my email.
Okay, and then I'll get it.
I will send you a message.
Okay, then I'll get it to John, and then you guys can call if you want to do that. I mean, you don't have to do it, but I mean, if you want
to. I'll have to do that.
Okay.
I heard his arguments, some of them, and I'll have to do that.
Okay.
I just want to ask you one thing. That is it possible sometime I can ask you some question as well? Is it possible?
Sure. I don't mind. I can ask me a question now. Go ahead.
About what?
About your Bible.
Sure. That's fine.
What shall I ask you now?
Oh, give me one. Go ahead. Let's go with one.
There's a story of David and Bathsheba. He had adultery with Bathsheba. And Nathan, the prophet, came to David and said, God is not happy from you.
Mm-hmm.
So what he did was evil. So what God will do, he will kill your son. Your son will die, and your wives will be given to your neighbor. And he will do to them what you done in secret. He will do to them in the open of the sun. The true problem here is, since David fell under the law of Moses, he should have been stoned to death for adultery with Bathsheba. He was. Secondly, why his wife have to go and sleep with the neighbor for his sin?
I don't know. I'd have to look at it. I don't know.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Next time around, maybe you can answer this.
What was that? It was the second Samuel what?
Chapter 12, verses 10 to 13. I found it very unjust, God here, and they drove one of the.
Well, okay. Well, let's note. Let me just. I'll provide. Let me just provide you this answer right here. When Nathan, the prophet Nathan, exposed David's sin, because he said, "Look, you know this," because he tells him that story about, you know, somebody having all kinds of sheep, and then once the one sheep from. Okay, what was David's reaction to this?
In that particular passage, David didn't do anything. Afterwards, yeah, David repented and he
right.
prayed
and
to God.
You're right. He asked God. He admitted. He repented of his sins, and he in sackcloth and ashes. That's about as grave as repentance as you can get. I mean, this is where you're crawling on the ground, just pouring your heart out to God, saying, "Please forgive me. I committed adultery." But then compare that to what Muhammad did with Mary the Copt, adultery with her in his own wife's bed. What did he do? He said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that." But notice what happens. He gets a convenient revelation saying, "It's aight." That to me, I understand you want to go after the Bible, and that's fine. You know, I don't have a problem defending what the Bible has to say, but when you try to make a comparison of what happens in the Bible and then you try to apply that to what Muhammad did, it's kind of hard to accept that. But
first of all, I want to say, Eric, this is my second time I'm here in your stream, and you guys ask me so many questions.
I know you do well. You do well.
Did I once go into your Bible and compare what you're saying is in your Bible?
No, you didn't. You did. You're right. You're right.
From Islam. I asked you one single question, and you went to the Islam and homosexual life. Right?
Because he's trying to reach their heart. That's why.
Well, I'm Well, I will. As a matter of fact, on Sunday when we do the show, that would be a good segue into the topic War on Women. That would be a good segue into it. So I'll take a look at it and we'll see.
Please do. My contention is the God, why he didn't punish David to adultery, is stoned to death, and why his wife has to pay the price for his sin, why they have to go and...
Sure. Okay. Why not stoned? Okay, why not stoned? Yes. And why wife?
That's what it is. And what he done, his wife has to go and see
the... Well, didn't she commit adultery also? I mean, it's...
No, his wife. Other wives.
Oh, his other wives. Oh, okay.
Not Bathsheba.
All right. Well, I tell you what, Rad, we'll talk on Saturday. Alrighty. Okay. I suppose. Okay. All right, everybody. God bless you. Thank you for move along. Thank you again for coming. Everybody in chat, again, thank you for coming. You guys are always a lot of fun, and I appreciate your input. Everybody that was here on the panel tonight, Abbas, George, Connie, John, and yes, even you, Rad. Thank you all for coming and your contributions. And we will see you Sunday on the Cross and the Crescent, 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. Don't forget to subscribe, like, share, and ring that and hit the bell. All right. God bless y'all. Thanks for coming. We'll see you. All right. Bye now. All right. My peeps over here. Oh, I see that Mr. Bill is here. Thank you for coming, sir. I'll be giving you a call here shortly. God bless. We'll see you. So I'm going to end the show over here on Blog Talk Radio.